My dearly beloved in Christ, marvelous as is the story of Our Lady of Fatima, it's tragically sad because the vast majority of Catholic clergy and laity ignored her dire predictions and stern warnings. Even more tragic is the fact that of the millions who are aware of the story of Fatima and its request, only a handful take the message to heart and put it into practice in their daily lives. Even though the Blessed Virgin Mary assured us of complete victory if her plan was followed, very few Catholics faithfully fulfilled a request for amendment of life, prayer, especially the daily rosary, penance, and reparation. However, in the end, in spite of all, Mary's Immaculate Heart will triumph. Our Lady of Fatima, knowing that people are generally motivated by love or fear, addressed both points in her message to the world. She expressed God's infinite love for mankind, his warnings to the world, and her deep maternal love for us. The Mother of God's message also instilled fear, especially the horrific consequences of sin. Our Blessed Mother pleaded with us to amend our life, pray, do penance for our sins, and fulfill God's holy will in our lives. When she appeared at Fatima to Lucia and her two cousins, Francisco and Jacinta, Our Lady expressed her sadness at the tragic consequences of sin upon the world. Upon Calvary, Mary saw the terrible cost of sin. No wonder she hates it so passionately. The Blessed Virgin Mary also saw how much her divine Son suffered for the redemption of mankind. No wonder she loves us so tenderly. At Fatima, the Mother of God stated that mankind had offended God too much to avoid chastisement. Our Lady could no longer restrain the hand of her divine Son from striking the world with just punishment for its many crimes. Unless people prayed and did penance for their sins, they would not only suffer the indescribable horrors of the Second World War and the spread of communism throughout the world, but in addition, and far worse, would be punished with the torments of hell. Sister Lucia lamented, "The Most Holy Virgin is very sad because no one has paid any attention to her message, neither the good nor the bad. The good continue on their way, but without giving any importance to her message. The bad, not seeing the punishment of God actually falling upon them, continue their life of sin without even caring about the message. God will chastise the world, and this will be in a terrible manner. Since the evil spirits and the visible enemies of the church attack priests most, Our Lady of Fatima told the clergy that they must spend more time in prayer, avoid worldliness, and not let ego get in the way. Priests must be pure, very pure. They should not busy themselves with anything except what concerns the church and souls. The disobedience of priests to their superiors and to the Holy Father is very displeasing to our Lord." When speaking of the disobedience of clergymen, Our Lady referred to modernists, who even in 1917 had infiltrated the church. Concerning such priests, St. John Eudes has written, "The most evident mark of God's anger and the most terrible chastisement he can inflict upon the world are manifested when he permits people to fall into the hands of clergy who are priests more in name than in deed. Priests who practice the cruelty of ravening wolves rather than the charity and affection of devoted shepherds. Instead of nourishing those committed to their care, they rend and devour them brutally. Instead of leading their people to God, they drag Christian souls into hell in their train." My dearly beloved in Christ, in his infinite love, God gives us many chances, but most people repeatedly reject his mercy because they're self-indulgent and too busy with worldly things. The evil spirits distract and captivate numerous souls through the love of material things and sinful pleasures. Some people are addicted to sports, watching game after game. Others spend incalculable hours playing video games on their smartphones. Still others are addicted to pornography. They would be rather occupied in such things than spend time in prayer or with their family. Many things can become an addiction, even shopping, if we don't keep them in check. Satan never sleeps. He loves to drag souls into hell. The temptations of the devil are attractive and alluring, but his promises turned out to be only poison pleasures. The only thing that Satan can really offer sinners is damnation. Unrepentant sinners can have whatever they want now, but in the end, the evil spirits will take their souls to hell. Satan is a ruler of this world and controls many things, including the media and movies. He desensitizes people and warps their sense of sin to such a degree that killing, fornication, adultery, and drugs are glorified. As Our Lady laments over the tragic state of the world, the devil thinks that corruption is wonderful and seeks to make sinners sink even deeper. My dearly beloved in Christ, Lourdes and Fatima were God's warning to the world, perhaps the last warning. The message is always the same: repentance for sin, penance, prayer, especially the rosary, fasting, faithful attendance at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, frequent and devout reception of communion, remaining in the state of grace, preparing for the day when we will be called before God's judgment seat. The devil puts that fearful fact out of people's minds so they think death will never come. With death and judgment far from their minds, they tragically die unprepared. My dearly beloved in Christ, today evil spirits have countless souls in their clutches, causing them to be distracted from their true purpose in life, the glory of God and the salvation of their immortal soul. Hour after hour, persons of all ages are taken up and absorbed by worldly and sinful diversions, such as their smartphone, computer, and television, by movies, internet, sports, pornography, yoga, witchcraft, and the occult. Because there are so many distractions caused by the devil, people don't pray. They just don't pray. If the thought of prayer ever even occurs to them, they quickly dismiss it, claiming they don't have time. Satan knows that people cannot save their souls without prayer. St. Alphonsus assures us, he who prays will certainly save his soul. He who does not pray will certainly lose his soul. In all her apparitions at Fatima, Our Lady insisted upon acts of sacrifice, reparation for sin, and the daily recitation of the rosary. The message of Fatima emphasizes the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the importance of prayer for the conversion of sinners and the salvation of souls. Our Lady said gravely, "Pray. Pray a great deal and make sacrifices for sinners. For many souls go to hell because they have no one to sacrifice and pray for them." We need to learn to do penance and make sacrifices, even if they're small ones. How often do we complain about our crosses instead of offering them up to God? The Blessed Virgin asked the three Fatima children, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings he will send you as an act of reparation for the sins by which he is offended and of supplication for the conversion of sinners?" They answered, "Yes, we are willing." Our Lady then told them, "Then you're going to have much to suffer, but the grace of God will be your comfort." My dearly beloved in Christ, we must avoid sin and offer reparation by our prayers and sacrifices for so many offenses against God. We must go to Mass and especially confession frequently. The evil spirits have a special hatred for confession because it makes people good again. Sister Lucia repeated the urgency of fulfilling the request of our Blessed Mother at Fatima when she said, "My mission is not to indicate to the world the material punishments that are certain to come if the world does not do penance beforehand. No, my mission is to indicate to everyone the imminent danger we are of losing our souls for all eternity if we remain obstinate in sin. The devil does all in his power to distract us and to take us away from the love of prayer. The devil knows what it is that most offends God, and which in a short space of time will gain for him the greatest number of souls. The Holy Virgin made me understand that we are living in the last times of the world. She told me that the devil is in the process of engaging in a decisive battle against the Blessed Virgin, the final battle where one side will be victorious and the other side will suffer defeat. Hence, from now on, we must choose sides. Either we're for God or we are for the devil." After the Blessed Virgin appeared to the three children of Fatima and showed them a vision of hell, Jacinta described the multitude descending into it as snowflakes coming down in a winter blizzard. The purpose of Our Lady's appearance at Fatima was, and still is, to warn people before it's too late of the unprecedented danger of damnation. Our Heavenly Mother said, "I've come to ask men to amend their lives and ask pardon for their sins. They must not continue to offend our Lord, who is already too much offended. I can no longer restrain the hand of my Son from striking the world with just punishment for its many crimes. If people do what I ask, many souls will be saved and there will be peace." Our Lady taught the Fatima children a prayer to be recited after each mystery of the Rosary. "O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those who have most need of thy mercy." My dearly beloved in Christ, God's mercy is infinite and everlasting. He is merciful unto the end of a person's life. Even if a person's in the state of mortal sin on his deathbed, God will forgive him if he's truly sorry for his sins and, if possible, receives the sacraments from a validly ordained priest. Almighty God wants all souls to go to heaven where there is pure joy. No anger, hatred, jealousy. Only total and lasting contentment. Peace, joy, and love. It's a place where love abounds. If there were more charity on earth, there would not be so many terrible things happening. In heaven there is love, pure love, love of God, love of brothers and sisters, the saints, the angels. Love is all that's important to God. In heaven, we will be perfectly satisfied, but all that is desired is to please God. As a loving mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary showed the three Fatima children a vision of hell. The vision was not for their instruction and warning, but for ours. The Blessed Virgin assured them that they were going to be saved. The accent on hell is tremendous. It's the first part of the secret of Fatima. It's a reason for all the rest of the revelations. Our Lady went on to tell of temporal punishments that would be visited on the world if men did not amend their lives. But we definitely miss the spiritual meaning of things if we think Our Lady came at Fatima to tell us how to keep out of a third world war or how to achieve tranquility in our earthly existence. She came to tell us how to keep out of hell. The temporal punishments are secondary. They are punishments which strangely impress us more than hell. Yet all the bleeding, dying, and despair of a thousand wars cannot equal the disaster of a single soul being damned. And damnation is not a mere possible evil which may arrive if we do not do what Our Lady of Fatima said. It's an actual reality, actually claiming countless souls that did not and now never can fulfill the purpose of their existence. My dearly beloved in Christ, Fatima is intended to stop this devastation. War can come or not. It is evil in the final analysis only in the measure that it brings about the only final evil, the loss of souls. You have seen hell, where the souls of sinners go, the Blessed Virgin said to Lucy. This is the first point of the Fatima message. We are free. We have abused our freedom. We're in danger of falling eternally. We must repent. My dearly beloved in Christ, we live in an era when almost no one believes Satan exists anymore. Most of humanity does not believe in hell. These erroneous views are used by the devil to deceive and entrap souls. For if a person does not believe he's in danger, he finds no need to be on guard or protect himself. This mode of thinking is convenient for those who live in habitual mortal sin without having to face any accountability for their actions. Such persons are fools. There is indeed a devil and a hell. The suffering endured in hell by souls who die in the state of mortal sin, who chose not to believe and follow God's commandments, are terrible. Nothing but torments for all eternity. Their worst suffering is never seeing God or leaving hell. St. Louis Marina Montfort says, punishment devoid of mercy, pity, mitigation, or merit. Without limit, without end. Yes, without end. Once sentenced, a soul will be in hell for eternity, since it can never die. There's no return or second chance. The time for mercy is over. There's no escape from hell. It's torture forever, forever. If we could see the faces of condemned souls when they arrive there, who know that they will remain for eternity in the fires of hell, we would never sin. There are many things people do which, if they do not repent by the end of their lives, will land them into hell. The lost soul will consider the trifles for which he was damned and the little required to save his soul. He will forever mourn over the everlasting good he has lost. The damned soul will plead every day, asking for mercy, asking to be released from the torments of hell. But it's too late. His pleas are useless and unavailing. In hell, there's only torment and despair with no change or respite. Torment, 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 and darkness. The damned will be tormented in the part or parts of the body that they use to sin. Gossips will be tormented in the tongue and mouth. Fornicators and adulterers will be tormented in different ways. The hands of the thief will burn. Someone who committed murder will feel the pain they inflicted on that person, but they will never die. In his book, The Imitation of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis has written, there the slothful shall be pricked forward with burning goads, and the glutton will be tormented with extreme hunger and thirst. There the luxurious and lovers of pleasure shall be covered all over with burning pitch and stinking brimstone, and the envious like mad dogs will howl for grief. There's no vice which will not there have its proper torment. There the proud shall be filled with all confusion, and the covetous be straitened with most miserable want. Such frightening thoughts should lead us to do whatever it takes while we are alive to avoid going to that horrible place. Whatever it takes. We need to pray, fast, and abstain. Have a strong devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Be kind, loving, forgiving, merciful, and charitable to others. Imitate Christ and strive to love others as he loves us. Sacrifice for others and be as charitable as you can. We must avoid temptation, drug and alcohol abuse, fornication, adultery, theft, pornography, lust, evil movies, horror movies, bad company, excessive anger, and sin in all forms. In order to go to heaven, we must stop sinning and obey God's commandments. We should root out of our lives the evil habit of uncharitable speech and unkind words. These sins are given so little thought and can occur so often. They're often excused or overlooked during examination of conscience. Gossip destroys friendships and causes suspicion, dissension, and division. We must try to interpret our neighbor's action in the best light and remain silent when we cannot say anything good about them. Our Lady of Fatima reminded us that to avoid going to hell, we must amend our life, remain in the state of grace, and do what God requires of us. Through a true devotion of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we will be able to fulfill God's will in our life, obtain His mercy, along with the grace to overcome temptation and sin. At Fatima, Mary stressed the importance of the daily recitation of the Rosary. It's Our Lady's favorite prayer because we meditate upon the whole life of her divine Son, Jesus, as we recite the mysteries. The Rosary is most efficacious to our eternal salvation because the Rosary gives our souls grace, power, and protection. Those who pray the Rosary faithfully will be protected from sinning, shielded from natural disasters, and ultimately from hell. Our Lady of Fatima said, "War is a punishment for sin. War can be stopped or delayed by the power of the Rosary." It's a powerful spiritual weapon that protects us from evil spirits by breaking their snares, weakening their power, and making their temptations ineffectual. The demons are afraid of the Rosary beads and don't like the prayers because it hurts and torments them like daggers. The Rosary especially protects people from demons when set at the bedside of dying persons. Many souls don't go to hell because the Rosary is being said at the hour of their death. They're saved and go to purgatory. Many souls are saved by the power of these blessed beads. The Blessed Virgin Mary promised if we pray the Rosary devoutly every day, we will not go to hell. She said, "The soul that recommends itself to me by the recitation of the Rosary shall not perish. God will not chastise him in his justice. He shall not perish by an unprovided death. If he be just, he shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternal life. Whoever shall have a true devotion for the Rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the Church." Tragically, because Our Lady's warnings are not heeded, countless souls are being lost, even those of children. Many of today's youth do not believe in anything, but there is hope for those mothers who pray the Rosary. Their children have a chance. It's important to recite the Rosary together as a family, father, mother, and children. The custom of saying the family rosary, once the natural thing in the Catholic home, has unhappily declined. Families suffer separation in the home and do very little as a unit anymore. Families are rarely together, even at mealtime. Family unity and time spent together have fallen victim to separate agendas, smartphones, televisions, and computers. Each member tends to generally go their individual way and do their own thing. A revival of the family rosary would do much to reunite the family and bring blessings on the home, on the individuals, and on the country. The Rosary protects against divorce, which breaks the family apart. However, if the Rosary is neglected, the family is more easily destroyed, thus placing souls in great peril. The old saying, "The family that prays together stays together," holds true. Children, even little children, should be taught by their parents how to pray the Rosary. This teaching should begin when the child is 2 or 3. They can be taught 1 decade at a time, and should have a chance to lead a small part of it. That makes it more personal for them. Slowly teach and review the mysteries of the Rosary one by one until your child knows all of them. Children are not too young, since they can easily pick up and recite worldly jingles or songs by heart and can operate the latest electronics. Motivation is important. We should have the Rosary with us at all times, on our person, in our car, in our home. Knowing the remarkable power of the Rosary, the devil's most deadly and effective trap against Catholics is to tempt them to stop praying the daily Rosary, especially the family Rosary. By not praying the rosaries, Catholics reject grace, making them vulnerable and easy prey to the attacks of demons. It becomes easier for them to sin because their souls lack protection. My dearly beloved in Christ, Our Lady wants us to consecrate ourselves to her. Our devotion to the Mother of God is neither true nor complete unless we dedicate our lives to her. By making the de Montfort act of total consecration to Jesus through Mary, we not only offer her all our possessions, but our very selves forever. Sister Minetta Lamberti explains, consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is a state whereby we recognize God's sovereign dominion by acknowledging Christ as our King and Our Lady as our Queen, pledging them complete service and devotion. Our consecration, then, must be more than a well-written prayer recited and then forgotten. It must be a vital living state in which we recognize the importance of habitually belonging to Our Lady. To be fruitful, it must inspire imitation of her virtues. We must try to reshape our lives according to Our Lady's, setting up a whole new pattern, studied at her feet, learned from the rosary mysteries, and modeled after her own Immaculate Heart. The word consecrate means to make holy. Therefore, as we strive for a life of union with Mary, we must overcome our sins and self-love. If we remove these obstacles to grace, our thoughts, words, and actions will be able to be directed by Our Lady. As a result, we will work incessantly for God's glory and the salvation of souls according to our state of life. Mary's intentions and dispositions will become ours. Her humility will replace our pride. Her purity efface our impurity. Her selflessness wipe out our self-love. And all her virtues replace our sins. From her we will learn the meaning of prayer, mortification, and penance. Resting close to her Immaculate Heart, our cold hearts will become enkindled with the divine fire and glow ablaze with her burning love. This total consecration in life in union with Mary is well expressed in the following prayer from the reign of Jesus through Mary. I am in thy hands, O Mary. Mold and fashion this clay which I am. Give it a form and break it again. Thou art its governess, it may not complain. I am satisfied that it should serve thy purpose and that nothing in me should be opposed to thy good pleasure. Whether thou dost ask, command, or forbid me, I am ready to obey. What wouldst thou have me do or not do? Whether I be exalted or humiliated, comforted or grieved, able to work for thee or incapable of anything, helpful to all around me or burdensome to everybody, I shall ever love thee and sacrifice my will to thine in all things, saying, my soul is Mary's slave of love. Let all things be done to me according to her good pleasure. I'll conclude with some moving words written by Sister Mary Jean Dorsey. Jesus came on earth to die for our sins. All the sins of all the people in the world were loaded on him, and he carried them all. It was sin that made his cross so heavy, and sin that pressed the crown of thorns into his head. Our Lady knew that Jesus had to die. She knew it for many years. She knew it when the angel came to tell her she was to be the Mother of God. When he was a baby in her arms, she knew that one day he would die on a cross. Our Lady's heart was very sad to think that Jesus would have to suffer so much. Finally, the time came when Jesus was crucified. Our Lady watched him suffering on the cross. She could not do anything to help him. She saw him die, and she knew that man's debt had been paid. The gates of heaven were open once more to sinful man. But what a terrible price Jesus had to pay to open those gates. The men took our Lord down from the cross and laid him in his mother's arms. He was scarred from head to foot with great wounds. In his hands and feet were the prints of the nails. On his head were the marks of the thorns. On his back were the long red lines where the lashes had cut him. His shoulder was deeply cut from carrying the cross. Our Lady knew when she looked at all these wounds that sin had made them, how she must have hated sin that had made him suffer so much. Since Our Lady knows what a high price Jesus paid for us to go to heaven, she is a good patron to keep us from sin. If we could but see one of our Lord's wounds, we would never want to sin again. She has seen them all. There's an old hymn which many people like to sing in Lent when we're thinking about our Lord's passion. O come and mourn with me a while. See, Mary calls us to her side. O come and let us mourn with her. Jesus, our love, is crucified. Let us ask Our Lady to help us to hate sin. She has seen what sin can do, and she will help us to keep from it, if only we ask her. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.